Well, we're going to be continuing today with our topic on faith. And folks, we don't really pay attention to the words we say. We just let things roll out of our mouth. But if you study the Bible at all, you see that the words we speak are so important. We need to guard our mouths at all costs. We're going to look at how important our words are. And if I don't get anything else across to you today, and I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, I told you God's really been dealing with me on words. And I could literally preach for months on just the words that we speak. If you start in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. Did you notice God formed everything with His words? All the way from Genesis to Revelation. Words. Words. If I don't get anything else across to you today, I want you to start watching the words that you speak. Start thinking about the words that you speak. Jesus said, my words are life, and they are spirit. Well, guess what? We're Christ-like, so our words are life, and they are spirit. I want to show you some verses today. It's either going to make you say amen and shout hallelujah, or make you say oh me. And again, this morning we're going to just barely be touching the surface. Just barely touching the surface. Now, I even asked God, I said, okay, if you're not turning me completely loose on this, why are we even starting? And He never did really tell me, but this is what He gave me. And we're just barely going to be touching the surface. This is a very extensive subject. The words that we speak are so important. And we need to watch the words we speak, not only to ourselves, we need to watch the words we speak to objects, to our kids, to other people. The words that we say are so very important. And let me just give you one example. God just shared this with me just now. And this is something I learned years ago. Let's say that I was talking to Diana. And I walked up to Diana and we were talking about, and I wanted to address something that she does that bugs me. Of course, you guys know Diana well enough to know she never bugs me, right? Okay, I won't push that too far. But anyway, let's say I was talking to Diana, and I said, Diana, you're a great wife, you're a great mom, you take care of the house, you do all this and you do all of that, but, well, that but just brings up a fence, doesn't it? It brings up a wall. She's like, okay, he's getting ready to lay it on me. So if I go over to Diana and say, Diana, you're a great mom, and you're a great mother, and you take care of the house, and there's one more thing I'd like for you to think about. Isn't that a big difference? Going from but to and? Folks, the words we speak are powerful. Now, we're talking about faith today, and we have not got off of the subject of faith. And Diana's glad I'm already off of that one illustration. I'll hear about that when I get home, and I promise you, she won't use the word but. She'll say, and don't mention me again in service. But we're talking about faith. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And this is one of the most amazing verses to me in the Bible. And everything I study about words comes back to what Jesus said right here. And of course, we know in Mark 11, Jesus spoke to the fig tree. And folks, we don't think about talking to inanimate objects, do we? But it's a proven fact, if you talk to flowers and plants, they will do better. Well, if they'll do better, why won't they do worse if we talk to them in a bad way? They will. Your car will. Remember a couple weeks ago, I said we're not real comfortable with this on the positive side, but you'll get in your car and say, well, you stupid old car, you're nothing but a pile of junk, you hardly ever start and well, no wonder. You're saying, Greg, you're losing it. No, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Mark chapter 11. Look at this verse. We're going to start in verse 22. Jesus answered and said, now who's speaking here? Jesus. In your Bible, is it red letters? Red letters win. If it's in red, you can go to the bank with it. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. We're talking about faith. Jesus just cursed the fig tree and it withered up and died. The disciples pointed it out and said, Jesus, the fig tree you cursed yesterday withered up and died. And he says, have faith in God. What's that got to do with the fig tree? Has everything to do with the fig tree. Look at the rest of this. Have faith in God. And again, we're talking about that faith. He says, for assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. I want to reread that. Jesus said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Folks, our saying is vital to our faith. I want to show you how vital salvation is to our faith. It's crucial. Did you know you cannot be saved without saying? It's that important. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it reemphasizes it and says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What happens if you just believe in your heart and you don't confess? You're not saved. It clearly says there you have to believe and you have to confess. Folks, believing and confessing are vital. You cannot be saved without them. You cannot live a life of strong faith without them. I want to give you two more verses as we're laying the foundation here. And there's so many verses. Another one God just put in my heart. That we will give an account of every idle, non-working word. Every idle, non-working word we'll have to give an account of. Matthew 12:37 says, for by your words, by what? Your words. You will be justified, or you will be made righteous, or you will be made, or you will be acquitted. And by your words you will be condemned, or you will be pronounced guilty and sentenced. By your words. Folks, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, who has control over the tongue? You do. So, you actually get to choose death or life. Since I have put a guard on my tongue, folks, I have chosen life. I have chosen what the Bible calls Zoe life, which is the God-given life. Our words are so important. Now, I do want to say something here because I know somebody's probably thinking this. I'm not talking about just going out and saying a bunch of stuff and it's going to happen. I'm saying you believe it and then you say it. And the Bible says it will happen. Remember Mark 11:23? Whoever does not doubt in his heart but believe whatever he says, it shall be done. So it's not just going out and saying a bunch of things. It's believing in your heart and then speaking out. Let me give you an example. And I've seen this done, and you probably have too. I've seen people that were improperly witnessing to somebody, putting a lot of pressure on them, and just to get rid of the person that was witnessing to them, the person that was being witnessed to said, okay, I'll say the prayer. And they led them in this prayer, they said the prayer. Did they get saved? No, they didn't get saved. They said a bunch of words, but did they believe it? No, they didn't believe it. You have to believe and confess. Both aspects of that are very important. If you don't believe something, you can go out and you can confess it 300 times a day for a year, and guess what? Nothing's going to happen. So again, I'm not just talking about going out and saying a bunch of stuff. But what I'm trying to get across is when you believe it in your heart, let it come out your mouth. Whatever you believe in your heart, speak it out. That is a major part of faith. The words we say are simply a means of releasing our faith or a way of setting our faith in motion. And sadly, this works in the negative as well as it does the positive. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to mention it again because it's so important. We'll say something like, well, nothing good ever happens to me. Guess what you're believing? You're believing nothing good ever happens to you. And guess what you're saying? You're saying nothing good ever happens to me. So guess what? Whoever says, receives. I can promise you nothing good is ever going to happen to you. And some of you ladies for years are saying, well, my no good rotten husband will never change. I wonder why. What do you believe? You believe he's never going to change. You're saying he's never going to change. Until you change what you're saying and believing, he's not going to change. But on the other side of that, my God meets all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Woo, doggies. It works in the positive side as well, doesn't it? Going back to your husband. And guys, this works the other way around too. If you ladies are start saying, I don't care, Father, I don't care how bad he's acting. I don't care that he's still piling his clothes on the floor. I believe that you're dealing with him, and I'm going to confess that you're dealing with him, and I'm going to believe that you're dealing with him, and I'm leaving him up to you. He's your problem. You said to cast all of my care over on you. He's yours. And quit nagging. That's the second part of that. Don't nag. Nag is not a statement of faith. If you turned it over to God, let God deal with him. So this works in the positive. It works in the negative. A lot of us believe it and activate this in the negative. Let's turn around and start using it in the positive. Because it definitely works either way. Now, one of the key aspects of what I want to get across today about faith and saying is to be careful what you say after you pray. Be careful what you say after you pray. We have to make sure that our words are words of faith and not words of doubt. Now, for those of you that have been here the last few weeks, you know we've been talking about Uncle Henry and getting Uncle Henry saved, right? That man's going to get saved one of these days. Uncle Henry's a fictitious name I made up for this. But let's say we prayed a good, biblical, strong prayer about Uncle Henry getting saved. Then we need to be thanking God, saying, God, I know that according to your word and according to my prayer that you're dealing with Uncle Henry and that you're shedding your love upon Uncle Henry. And that you're bringing him under conviction, and that you're showing him he needs to be saved, and I thank you for that. Now, whatever you do, watch your mouth after that. Don't go around saying, you know, boy, I sure hope Uncle Henry gets saved. Is there any faith in that? You sure hope he gets saved? Or even worse, I've been praying for Uncle Henry for 3 months now. I don't see any change in Uncle Henry. I wonder if God heard my prayer. Who said you had to see anything? Faith walks by faith, not by sight. You don't have to see anything. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, did you notice he never mentioned the fig tree again until somebody else brought it up? They walked by it later that night after he had cursed it. There's no record that he even looked that way to see if anything had happened. Because he had said it and he had left it to be done. Why isn't Uncle Henry getting saved? There's no faith in that, folks. We have to watch our words. Those are not only statements that are not faith words, not only just doubt words, but they cancel our prayers. They cancel our prayers. Jesus, when the centurion came to him, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Only believe. Is that easy? No, that's not easy. That's why the Bible says take every single thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. When those doubts come to your mind, don't dare speak them out. Don't dare let them come out of your mouth. Instead, say, "God, you know I just had a thought of doubt, but I'm doubting the doubt, and I'm believing your word. I know you're dealing with Uncle Henry. I know you are." And folks, let me take it a step further. Even if Uncle Henry goes further in sin, and even if you're around Uncle Henry and he gets meaner than a grouchy old bear, I don't care what he does. Watch your mouth. Don't say anything in a negative sense about Uncle Henry not being saved. The worse he gets, say, "God, I thank you that you're dealing with him." And I remember, some of you remember Jennifer Vincent. I know Carl remembers Jennifer. Jennifer's been down here to visit a few times. When her dad was not going to church and wasn't saved, Jennifer and her mom came to us and said, "Would you help us pray that David gets saved?" I said, "Nah. We'll pray and we'll get David saved, but here's the deal. It's going to get miserable in your house for a while. So when he gets under conviction, you've got to know that God is working with him and God is dealing with him." Woo, did it ever get miserable. They came to church and said, "We can't take anymore." Said, "You told us to pray. You said you wanted him saved. Conviction will make him miserable." So we never said anything about him not getting saved. We just kept believing and kept believing and kept believing and kept believing. And guess what? He got saved. But what had happened if we said, "Whoo, boy, David's getting mean. I don't know. I don't know if God can ever save him or not." We'd have canceled our prayers just like that. We have to watch our prayers and watch our words after we pray. And folks, we've been doing it for so long that it is very difficult to change. Very difficult to change. Watching what you say and changing what you say is going to take a very conscious effort to get it changed. And I know from firsthand experience how hard it is. This is way back before any of you knew me. But at one point in my life, I said the phrase, "You know," at least 3 times in every sentence. "You know, Uncle Bill, you know, Uncle Bill, you know, you know, you know." I didn't even realize I was doing it. And somebody came up to me one day and said, "Do you realize how often you're saying you know?" I said, "You know I'm saying you know? I didn't realize it." Well, after I became aware of it, I'm saying it all the time. It took me a long time to get over it. But I did, because I was consciously aware of my words. Before, I wasn't consciously aware. Otherwise, I would have never been walking around saying, "You know," all the time. "You know" doesn't fit into any sentence hardly ever, does it? It might if you're saying, "Well, do you know Uncle Henry? Or do you know where such and such a place is?" But just saying "you know" in every sentence doesn't go in every sentence. And it was hard. It was a struggle. And I caught myself saying it over and over and over. But I was aware of it. And eventually I changed it. And even now, once in a great while, I'll catch myself throwing in a "you know." and immediately I hear it. So it's hard to change. And when you're in the process of changing your words, you're going to catch yourself time and time again, maybe saying a statement of doubt, and when that happens, say, "Father, forgive me. I know that was a statement of doubt," and go right back to where you ought to be with your faith. Now, some people don't think that the words we say has any effect on anything. Well, folks, don't be so foolish. I've already told you by your words you're going to be justified or you're going to be condemned. I've already told you that death and life are in the power of the tongue. They matter. The words that we speak matter. And I know I kind of shared this a few weeks ago, but just start listening to some of the stupid things that people say. "I laughed so hard I thought I was going to die." Really? You laughed so hard you thought you were going to die. Or another good one we use with the dying thing is, "I'm just dying to go there." Well, if you die, you can't go. Why not say, "I'm so excited about going there"? Again, we use words so loosely, so frivolously. We need to watch what we're saying. And one that I hear a lot, and sometimes I try to correct people on this one, sometimes I just let them go. "Well, it's that time of year again. I just know I'm going to get the flu this year. I always get the flu." Yeah, you will. Why would you program yourself to get the flu? Bible says God is my healer. Boy, that'd be a different confession, wouldn't it? Every time you feel like saying, "I just know I'm going to get the flu," instead say, "You know, God is my healer. I'm going to be well this year." You're going to shock a few people, aren't you? But the words we speak, folks, are so vitally important. And the things that people say are really ridiculous. Because just like me saying, "You know," all the time, we're not consciously aware of what comes out of our mouth. We need to listen to every word that comes out. And yes, again, once in a while you're going to slip up. You're going to say something, your mouth is going to get ahead of your brain. I have that problem. You have that problem. We all have that problem. But if we start watching our words, we're going to be way ahead of where we were, because our words are so vital. And again, I showed you they're vital to even being saved. And they are vital to every single area of your life. If you want to have strong faith, you must guard the words that come out of your mouth. Did Jesus ever speak words of doubt or unbelief? No. And we are supposed to imitate Him, aren't we? For by your words, you will be justified. And for by your words, you will be condemned. And we will give account for every idle word. That right there tells me they are so important. So important. It does matter what we say. And I want to end with this. Marlene and Bill, if you'll come on up. The words that we speak in faith go hand in hand. And the words we speak in doubt go hand in hand. Folks, really, whatever's in our heart is going to come out in our mouth. Going back to Uncle Henry, if we believe that God is dealing with him, that he's going to be saved, no matter what it looks like, no matter how we feel about it, we're going to speak what God's Word says. And that's what faith really is saying what God says about it. You may look at Uncle Henry and there may look like there is never any hope of Uncle Henry getting saved. But is that what God says? No, that's not what God says. He said it's His will that none should perish. We need to say what God says. And He said whatsoever we should ask, if we believe, we'll receive it. And if we're asking God to show His love to Uncle Henry and to bring him under conviction and to show him he needs a Savior, God's doing His part. Let me put it this way. We need to help God by speaking the right words. Again, our words will either add to our faith or cancel our prayers. They are vital. And they are crucial. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, just like this song we're getting ready to sing, it says, have faith in God. And you've shown us clearly today, Father, that the words we speak have a lot to do with our faith. And Father, I pray that you'd do two things today. First of all, that you'd help us to see the importance of the words that we speak. And second of all, you'd help us to put a guard on our mouth that we would speak only words of faith. Words that are in agreement with your word. And that we would not cancel out our prayers, but that we would aid you by speaking the right, correct words the way you tell us to. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.